turning in God's Word now for the reading of Holy Scripture to the book of Proverbs again, and we're at chapter 4 today. We'll start reading at verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We'll end our reading there. And our Father, we pray that thou wilt bless the public reading of thy word to us, for Christ's sake. Amen. Many times in the book of Proverbs, if you read through this book, you will find the word heart. Some well-known statements concerning the heart are found in the book. We learn in Proverbs 12 and verse 25 that heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it to stoop. We learn also that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his ways. We have seen in verse 5 of chapter 3 that we should trust the Lord with all our heart. And we learn in the 13th chapter in verse 12 these words that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. These are well-known statements from the book where the word heart is found. What is the heart? Well, physically it's that organ about the size of a fist within our breast, somewhere there, that pumps the blood that goes through our arteries and veins in our body. Physically, that's what it is. It's an organ. But emotionally, we find that that's where our feelings and our affections are located. And we talk about people, or talk about ourselves, that we love so-and-so with all our heart. That's the emotional and the romantic use of the heart. But then again, the heart in the Bible very often is used in a spiritual way. And it takes in the mind. It takes in the understanding. You remember whenever God looked down into this world in the days of Noah, the Bible says about him then that he said that the thoughts and the imaginations of men's hearts was only wicked continually, evil continually. We learn elsewhere in this book that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the heart is capable of thinking, and very often it's put for the mind. The word translated heart is also translated understanding in different places in the book. For instance, in chapter 6 and in the 32nd verse, we read these words, whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. It's the same word translated heart in other places in the book of Proverbs. Now, there are some things to be done by us with our hearts, and I want to notice one of them with you for the remainder of our service today. What we have got to do with regard to our hearts. It's in Proverbs 4 and 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You can see from this verse alone, if there were not any other verses in the Bible, that the heart, as we're thinking of it, dealing with our mind, our affections, our whole being, that the heart has a very important part in our lives. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I want you to notice, first of all, the responsibility to which we must attend with regard to our heart. We've got to keep our hearts. The word keep here is an interesting word. It's actually translated watchman elsewhere in the Bible, in Jeremiah 31. It's also in Proverbs 20, verse 28, translated by the word preserve. So it means, among other things, that we should guard our hearts. We should maintain a vigil over our hearts. So this is serious stuff, friend. This is what the wise man, and we have seen the type of man Solomon was with regard to the good qualities about him. He knows what he's talking about because he is described as the wisest man on the earth. And he's telling us that we need to attend to our hearts. But where do we do this? In what way? Well, for instance, like a gardener. What way does a gardener attend to a garden? Well, he's in it, watching over it all the time. He puts plants in it where he feels they're going to grow and develop. He might transplant some of those plants or shrubs. He will certainly water them. He perhaps will fertilize them. He certainly will do a bit of weeding about them. And on occasions, he will prune. He will cut away all of this in order that the garden may be enhanced, that it may bring on its growth and even its appearance and beauty. That's how we are to keep our hearts. We've got to water them by reading and prayer. We have got to fertilize them on occasions. We will have to weed them. We will have to look out for the little sins that come in, like little foxes that Solomon said elsewhere, that spoil the vine. We've got to look for these things, and we've got to be drastic. And there are times that we need to cut away. We have got to, as the Bible puts it in another way, mortify the deeds of the flesh. We're going to keep our hearts. Let me change the analogy here. Take a car. Most people here, at least adult people, most people here drive a car. And they know something about what's required there. A car needs to be well maintained. The tires have to be in order for different reasons. Not the least, prevent accidents. And certainly they prevent fines. The car always needs to be adequately filled with fuel. The engine needs to be properly lubricated. And on occasions, serviced. The lights need to be functioning properly. The whole engine needs to be in good repair if it's going to be a reliable car to service. And it always needs to be serviced and maintained, kept in good working order. That's the way it is with our hearts, our minds, our thought life, our attitudes, our dispositions. Or let me change the metaphor again. Not so much a garden, not so much a car, but think of the installations that invading enemies love to deprive the people of in the country they're invading. Maybe the power supply, and there are great installations throughout different countries, and in war times, they need to be fortified and garrisoned, they need to be guarded. Or water supply, and this is one of the ways even the terrorists, if they can get into an opposing country, can contaminate and pollute the water supply. Has to be kept. Has to be tended to. Has to be guarded. And our hearts are like those cars. Our hearts are like those gardens. Our hearts are like those installations of power. Our hearts are like those reservoirs. They need to be guarded and tended to continually. How do we do it? Basically, constant fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the basic way. Everything else will stem from that. We need to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ constantly in His word and prayer. And there ought not to be a day go by, Christian, that we be in the book. No matter how tired, no matter how busy, we ought to take this Bible down at some part of the day, preferably the morning, so that when we have the whole day in front of us, we'll receive some fortification, some inurement from all the temptations and trials that are going to come at us. Certainly, throughout the day at some time, we need to be given to meditation, fellowship with Christ. We ought to pray, not just a hurried prayer in the morning to salve our conscience or a hurried prayer before we go to bed at night, but there ought to be times that we fellowship with Christ deliberately and other times that we just talk to Him, knowing He's beside us, whether we're sitting in the car or washing the dishes or walking down the street or whatever. We ought to be in constant fellowship with the Lord. All of these things will help us to keep the heart. We've got to attend to this matter. The reading of God's word and prayer, basically. But there has to be vigilance. All time and time in this word, we are urged to be very serious about ourselves in this matter. For instance, we read in 1 Corinthians 11 and 28, "Let a man examine himself." Now that in its context has to do with us coming to the Lord's Supper. But its general application is obvious. We should always be putting ourselves under review spiritually, like the man looking after the garden, or like the man getting his car maintained. We have got to be like that. Or as it's put in another place in God's Word, where the psalmist says in Psalm 139, the last two verses, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Constant vigilance, tending to the garden of our hearts, guarding this reservoir within. Or as it's put another way, in the book of Haggai, where we are told to consider our ways. Or as we learn of it in Psalm 39, the opening part, where the psalmist says, "I will set a watch about the door of my mouth. I'll keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked are before me." That's vigilance. That's taking care of our hearts. Keep my heart. The responsibility to which we must attend. But notice secondly, the resoluteness we must apply. Notice how the wise man goes on in Proverbs 4 and verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence." There's resoluteness. Be firm. Be determined. Be given to stiff resolve in this matter. Be committed to the matter of seeing to your heart's well-being. Now, this resolve is needed in every aspect of life. For those who are interested in sports, let me ask you to consider this with me. Take the athletics, the running of the races. You know how these people have to discipline themselves continually. They've got to watch what they eat. They've got to make sure they don't keep late hours. They've got to train, and all the time they're doing it with diligence that they may succeed in the races. If it's boxing, people love that bloodthirsty sport of boxing. I remember one person, he was a minister in America. He says it's vile. He says it's terrible. He says it's wicked. It's cruel. It should be banned. And until the times that they ban it, I want to see every match. That's how he felt about it. Well, I don't share that with him. But people like boxing. But you take those boxers, whether they're heavyweights or flyweights or middleweights or whatever, they have to go into that ring with no superficial fat on, no superfluous weight. They have got to discipline themselves that their muscles are rippling right through the skin. They have got to undergo hours of training. They're keeping their bodies for the fight. Or if it's football or rugby or whatever, they have to be fit. They have to be match fit. They must be disciplined and they must be strong. They must have stamina and they must acquire the skills. All of that just in the sports. But it requires resoluteness. Let's change the metaphor. Let's take somebody who's interested in a career. Maybe a doctor. Maybe a lawyer. Maybe a nurse. Maybe a teacher. What have they to do? They've got to study year after year. There may be times that they could not see it far enough away from them. They might wish that they hadn't to continue. But at the end of it, after a number of years, they can see their goal being realized. And they realize if that's to be so, they have got to be committed. They have got to be stiff in their resolve. They have got to do it with all diligence. No matter how brain fatigued they may be, no matter how weary in their bodies they may be, that course of studies has to be completed. And in order for that to take place, there must be the utmost commitment and there must be this resolve. Change the metaphor. Not now in sport, not now in a career, but someone in business. Got to be long hours, long distances to travel, long and heavy payments made to the bank on money borrowed before that person can break even. Nights they wonder, am I ever going to make it? But because of the resolve, because they're resolute, because they're determined that this business is going to succeed, they give themselves to it. That's the way, my dear friend, that we have got to keep our hearts. Listen to what the wise man says in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. The very same writer. He says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Listen to what Paul writes to the Galatians. Be not weary in well-doing. Listen to what the Master himself said. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. That, my dear friend, is stiffness of resolve. That is discipline. That is resoluteness. We need to show the same whenever we're keeping our heart. You see, the heart can be sabotaged. Like those installations I've talked about, or those reservoirs, the heart can be sabotaged. It can go into decline. Listen to what the Bible says about the heart. In Hosea chapter 10, the opening verses, it says it can be divided. We learn in James chapter 1 and verse 26, it can be deceived. We learn in Psalm 86 and verse 11, by inference, the heart can be distracted. We learn in Romans 1 verse 21 that the heart can be darkened. We learn in James chapter 5 verse 5 that the heart can be discordant. The heart is vulnerable to all of these evil things. That's why we have got to be diligent in making sure that our hearts are sound. Let me read to you from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. How to keep the heart. This is one way. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We're back again to the mind. And remember, the heart here in this text means the mind, among other things. We've got to make sure we don't fill our minds with wickedness. And young people, there's any amount of it. It used to be that television was the big fear. And there's so much left to be admired with regard to much of the trash that comes on it. But an even more subtle thing now are the games that are sent out. And even more subtle than that is the access to the internet. Pornography, for instance. It's a multi-billion pound industry throughout the world. And people can access it very easily. And once given to that, it becomes addictive. It'll ruin your life and the life of others that you're associated with. Think on the pure things. Don't be thinking on the things that are vulgar or obscene or filthy. Get your mind on these things that Paul is telling us about here in Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are pure and honest and just and of good report. Or as he puts it in the second chapter of Philippians, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This is why we've got to show great diligence in keeping our hearts. We've seen the responsibility to which we must attend. We've got to keep our hearts. We've seen the resoluteness that we must apply. We've got to do it with all diligence. Notice lastly, the reason that we must appreciate. Why is Solomon making such a big thing about keeping our hearts? Here's the answer in this text, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's why. The heart is so important, because what Solomon is saying is, and what the Bible teaches elsewhere, that the heart is responsible for all that issues forth by our actions and even by our words. And I'll show you that in a moment. But let's get back to an illustration again. Picture. Let's think about the reservoir for a moment. We have the reservoir in this country. Different countries have them. And that's the place from which purified water comes to homes through machinery that is designed and constructed for that very process, so that in our homes and in our businesses we have pure water. Now, think about what this water does. If it were not for water, we wouldn't be clean. Water helps us to keep our bodies clean. Water enables us to keep our houses clean. It enables us to keep our clothes clean. It enables us to keep our streets clean. It enables us to keep our business facilities clean. Now, if the water is contaminated, what's the point in washing our clothes in it or washing our bodies in it? This is why we've got to keep our hearts, because there are things that issue from our hearts that are going to affect all parts of society. Not only is water the means of cleanliness, but it's the means of refreshment. I talked to you about some of the sports there, and you will find that every so often they have to get the fluids into their body, they have to drink, they have to quench their thirst. But not only is water for refreshment, water is also for nourishment and the preserving of life. Whenever people go through a wilderness or through a desert, they must have water. Now, that water that they come across in an oasis, or if they carry it in bottles, if that water is contaminated, what is going to happen to them? It is so important then that the source is kept pure. And that's why the source of our being, our hearts, needs to be pure. Because out of our hearts, out of our minds, out of our inner man, flows everything that is going to concern the well-being of others as well as ourselves. Now, to show you this, I want you to turn with me to two parts of the Bible. First of all, Luke chapter 6. And turn away down there near the end of that chapter to verse 45. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What a principle. You see, the things that we say, the kind of jokes we tell, the kind of gossip that we may be given to, that tells us what our hearts are like. The words, the mouth is an index of the heart. And if we're going to be vulgar and obscene, it shows us what kind of a heart we have. That's why we need to keep the heart. Now turn back to this other reference. It's in Mark chapter 7. I want you to turn to verse 21. For from within, mark that word within, out of the heart of men, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed, and here are the actions, among other things, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And the Lord Jesus says they come out of the heart. Whether the thoughts we think, the words we speak, or the actions we do, it's all from the heart. And this is the reason why the wise man is saying to us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Brethren and sisters, and I'm speaking at this point to God's people, we have that kind of a heart that's renewed, and we've got to guard it. We've got to tend to it. We've got to maintain it by keeping fellowship with the Lord Jesus, by reading and prayer, by accompanying with God's people, by attendance of the means of grace. All of these things, they're all help. The old theologians used to call these things the means of grace because they were means to help us to grow in grace and live the Christian life. You get out to the prayer meetings as often as you can. You get to the Lord's table every time that the Lord's table is held. You fellowship with God's people because all of these things, God uses them and gives us to use them to help us to keep our hearts. But there are some people here, and this word at this stage is not for them at all, because their heart, and I'm talking now about unconverted people, Jeremiah chapter 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? How can you keep a heart like that? You can't do it. The heart is filthy and corrupt and vile. And I'm speaking now about the heart in its unregenerate state. Ah, but that can change. Let me read these tremendous words in closing from Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. That's the heart that you need, friend. That comes when you're born again, when you experience the miracle of the new birth. And you'll know that has happened when you receive Christ as your Savior and Lord and trust Him. He'll forgive your sins, blot them all out, come into your life and live His life through you. The Spirit of God will perform the miracle of the new birth and this new heart will be yours. And then you'll be able to carry out Solomon's injunction. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it on the issues of life. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we realize that we have a solemn responsibility here. And we would ask Thee that we might tend to this matter seriously and conscientiously. And as He says, with all diligence. We've seen the reason too, because of the importance that has in every life, out of the heart, are the issues of life. And our Father, we pray that we will have a good heart, a heart that's consecrated to Thee, a heart that's dedicated to Thy service, a heart that freely feels for the unconverted, a heart that goes out to Thee and worship and serve it. And O God, grant that for those who are not saved yet, that Thou will give them the new heart today May they trust the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. We ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen.